曇った冬の日暮れである。私は横須賀発上り二等客車の隅に腰を下ろして、
Top of the morning to you, listener. It's good to see you again. It's been a while, I admit, but it's not my fault. This is me leprechaun voice. I'm doing the leprechaun voice because, you guys know, it's St. Patrick's Day, and even if you're not Irish, you can still take part in this fantastically borrowed event by just wearing clothes of a certain shade, drinking beer of a certain color, but also listening to music that sets the mood. And I can't think of any other band that encapsulates the spirit of spring than the Pogues. That's right, the Irish rock band fronted by former lead singer Shane McGowan, who sadly passed away last year just due to pneumonia, which is crazy. Anyway, if there's one album I'd recommend to you, it's Rum, Sodomy, and the Lash. Don't read too much into the title. It's from, I think, a Winston Churchill quote about about the British Navy. Anyway, this album is chock full of just these gems that invoke pastoral scenes of fields and even the rocky roads of Dublin, this kind of thing. It's a gold mine of stuff, so give it a chance, and I give you a money-back guarantee that it knocks your socks off. Preferably your green socks. Now, to the main event. Speaking of all things green, today I thought we'd do a deep, deep dig into jade. No, this is not a reference to the 1995 erotic thriller, but no, the decorative, beautiful, and symbolic mineral. So, jade processing in Japan dates back to the Jomon period, which we know about, right? Around 5,000 years ago, marking it the world's oldest use of jadeite, and nowhere is there a more abundant source of jade in Japan than our very own Niigata, in the coastal town of Itoigawa. But, you know, to really grasp the gravity of this super sacred stone, we kind of need the help of one legendary lady, Nunagawa Hime, or Princess Nunagawa. Culled from ancient Japanese texts like the Kojiki, which we know, and Izumo Fudoki, there was a region known for its lush jade mines. We know it as Koshi no Kuni. Here, jade wasn't just a stone, it was a symbol of power and authority, cherished by the elite and sought after across lands far and wide. And in this jade-rich province lived a princess, Nunagawa Hime, who was soon married off to the deity Okuninushi. Let me set the scene for you here. Okuninushi, captivated by tales of Nunagawa Hime's beauty and wisdom, ventures off to Koshi to win her hand. But despite her initial reluctance, their marriage marks a union that would forever change the course of jade's history in Japan. But, you know, as is typically the case with all tales of myth and legend, their story takes a tragic turn. Turns out that Okuninushi's prime motivation for seeking the hand of Nunagawa Hime was just to learn her jade secrets. Oh, the truth crushes the poor princess and leads ultimately to her own suicide. It's a bummer of a tale, but there's a silver lining here. The aftermath of Nunagawa Hime's tale doesn't end with her death. Her life ushers in a new era as the land of Izumo, enriched by the legacy of its jade, merges with the emerging Yamato court in Japan. This pivotal moment is commemorated through a legendary contest of strength between Takemi Nakata, the child of Nunagawa Hime and Okuninushi, and Takemika Zuchi, marking the origins of sumo wrestling, which is pretty cool. Anyway, in her hometown of Itoigawa, Nunagawa Hime is not just remembered, she's venerated. She's enshrined at the Amatsu Shrine, immortalized in a bronze statue that, so they say, if you shake hands with her, your wish will come true. Excellent. Now you may be saying, that's all cool and fine and dandy, Josh, but that's the apocryphal stuff of legend, yeah? What about the real gems, huh? Yeah. So, in order to move forward, we're going to need the help of another guest on today's show, a man by the name of Soma Gyofu. He was a Japanese literary figure from the Meiji period to the Showa period, and a native of Itoigawa. And, interestingly enough, the author of Itoigawa Station's Shinkansen Departure Melody, if you're into that kind of thing, which I totally am. Anyway. Soma, leveraging a legend about Princess Nunagawa of Koshi wearing a jade necklace, gave former police chief Takeo Kamagami a hint that jade might be found somewhere around the beaches of Itoagawa. Kamigami was way too busy and entrusted the search for jade to his eldest daughter's father-in-law. His eldest daughter's father-in-law. His eldest daughter's father-in-law, Eizo Ito, who discovered jade on August 12, 1938. Thus, simultaneously reigniting the fervor for jade and later attracting the eyes of a major cultural agency. And this seems like a good cliffhanger to take a commercial break from our very well-paid sponsor. Welcome back to the show. Anyway, we're talking about the history of Japan's jade. And to wrap up everything in a nice green package with a green bow, we have UNESCO to thank. Yes, that UNESCO. UNESCO Global Geopark, situated along the Sea of Japan coast in Itoigawa, Niigata. Now, again, I'm going to ask you to use your imagination faculties and witness the scene millions of years ago, when colossal tectonic forces tore Japan apart from the Asian continent, splitting it in two, and then in dramatic reconciliation, crushing it back together. This cataclysmic process gave birth to the towering mountains, deep valleys, and the rich jade deposits that Itoigawa is famed for today. And all of this went down on the Itoigawa-Shizuoka tectonic line, a massive fault that marks the battleground between the Eurasian and North American tectonic plates. So there you have it. This year, for Paddy's Day, maybe instead of a green hat or some green buckled shoes, sport some jade. You may get a little more luck than your average four-leaf clover. Oh, anyway, that's it from me. It's so good to see everyone, the lot of you. Awesome to hang out with you, and it's good to speak with yous. Anyways, trim your hedges, open your windows, and feel the fresh breeze of the spring. And if you're in the neighborhood, take a stroll on Itoigawa's jade shores. Ja, matane.